Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and we're continuing our conversation with Marcelo Unterbug. Just an amazing story of a young man that got into smoking a joint as early as the age of 8 and using all types of drugs through the ages of 9 and 13, and then finally got into rehab, and yet still, like a lot of addicts, had to go through several rehabs. And the good news is the story has a great story of hope. He's a follower of Jesus, and God has transformed his life. He's a husband and a dad, and it's going to be great. But we're just sharing his journey to give hope to those who struggle with addiction or those who have loved ones that are in addiction right now. And tomorrow's program, he's going to give you some hope and speak to those people who are struggling with some type of addiction right now, or to those parents that have a child. So make sure you join us tomorrow also. But Marcelo, yesterday when we ran out of time, you were sharing a story about how, and just, you would go on 3 and 5 day binges sometimes on drugs, not eating, not sleeping, and one of them involved an accident. And we cut off yesterday where you woke up in the hospital bed, didn't know, you know, what had happened, and there were two police officers standing in front of you. Tell us what happened next.
Yeah, so those, thank you, Greg. It's good to be back, and thank you. Those two police officers essentially just kind of went on to explain how when I had a seizure behind the wheel of my car, and my car just quote unquote magically just went off into the median and stalled out. They told me that I missed hitting a van full of a family. And so by God's grace, I didn't kill them or myself or hurt anyone else, in that accident.
Wow. Well, and that's the thing, you know, you look back, I think for our people that are listening, sometimes we forget, you know, times where God has protected us, and we're worrying, you know, and thinking, can God help me in this situation? I don't mean something maybe to the severity of what Marcelo's talking about, but I think it is a word and reminder to think back right now if you have a situation that seems overwhelming in your life, especially with COVID-19 going on and things. I know a lot of people's personal lives with jobs and finances and family members are just kind of in turmoil, but I want to encourage you to remember back other times in your life where God had just showed up in miraculous ways. And we all, if you've been a follower of Jesus for any length of time, know that that's true, but the enemy doesn't want you to remember that. So as Marcelo shares that he was protected from dying himself or hurting and killing somebody else during this rampage of drug addiction he was on, it's just that great reminder to be reminded that God has intervened in the past. And, you know, the thing you shared about a little bit yesterday, and I want you to share about more today. I mean, research shows, unfortunately, that most people in addiction, unfortunately, it's not just the first rehab. Unfortunately, usually it's multiple rehab centers before they finally kind of get over the hump. Can you relate to that in your story?
I can. I think I can, Greg. And, you know, as I've mentioned, I think a little bit yesterday, you know, that was just one story. I experienced many, many consequences and a couple of suicide attempts, a few other near-death experiences from drug use. And yes, unfortunately, I think the professionals would tell you that relapse is oftentimes, maybe more times than not, relapse is a part of recovery. I'm certainly not going to say it has to be. It just happens to be. And it was for me. And like I mentioned, I went to, I lose count, but it's 6 or 7 drug and alcohol treatment centers until I finally surrendered.
Well, let's talk about that. What led to your surrender, and what did that surrender look like?
Well, I had gone out on just one more binge. I had, lied to everyone around me, stolen. Frankly, I'd given my car away to a drug dealer for another hit of cocaine. It was an older car. It wasn't probably worth more than $3,000 to $5,000, but it was all I had at the time, and I had given that away for probably what amounted to $100 worth of drugs. So just to show you what you're willing to do to get your next fix. And I'd showed up at my roommate's apartment at the time, and he took me to my father, and my father, frankly, in tears, begged my roommate at the time to not give up on me and to take me to a treatment center that we found that was in Jackson, Mississippi. and they took me, my father and my roommate at the time drove me to Jackson, Mississippi on February 19th of 2003, what would end up being my last drug and alcohol treatment center.
And that's when you surrendered, and share what that moment was like.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that we like to, what we call in recovery is the gift of desperation. You know, I didn't know it at the time, but after I got sober and as I look back in hindsight, on that day, that's when I finally surrendered. For the first time in my life, I found that I wasn't going to get sober for the girl, for my mother, for my father, for the job, or for any other reason other than in that moment, I just didn't want to hurt that bad again. I never wanted to hurt like that again. And that was 17 years ago, and it brings back that feeling today that I just never wanted to hurt like that again. And I went to drug and alcohol, to that last treatment center, and about 4 months into that treatment, coincidentally, you know, I certainly am not saying that I got perfect. I had a perfect release from drugs and alcohol, but I'm not certainly perfect. And about 4 months into that treatment center, Greg, I got kicked out of treatment. And I was in Jackson, Mississippi, and I was going to drive back to Dallas, Texas. And instead, God spoke to my heart and reminded me of what awaited me if I came back to Dallas. And instead, I went to an AA meeting that day. And the topic that night was humility and learning to ask for help. And with tears in my eyes and 10 minutes before that meeting was over, I told that group that I just got kicked out of treatment. And for the first time in my life, I uttered the words, "And I don't know what to do." And from that day on, my life changed.
Wow. Well, I love that there's somebody listening today. I know that just, you know, you need to, I call it putting the other knee down, that, you know, a lot of times we have one knee down asking God for help, but it's not until we put both knees down and really surrender and say we need help that God can really intervene. Is that what you found to be true in your case, Marcelo?
I think that's a great point, Greg. I did exactly that. I would be willing to say that those six other treatment centers, that's exactly what I would do. I would try to keep one foot in the world, one foot in God's word, or one foot in the world and one foot in recovery. And I would fall flat on my face every time. And on that day when I said I no longer know what to do, I finally surrendered. I gave up trying things my way. So as I often tell people, that it's oftentimes not about fighting harder. It's about surrendering more. And I surrendered that day on February 19th of 2003.
That is such a great quote. I love that. It's not about fighting harder. It's about surrendering more. And, you know, Marcelo, in the world's ways, that doesn't make sense, does it?
No, it sure doesn't. Humility to win. I mean, who ever heard of such a thing?
And yet for you, you know, who tried it the world's ways, it was that humility and surrender that got you help and got you freedom. And so you started to kind of put the pieces back together slowly but surely. And you even graduated from college. I mean, I know that had to be just like an incredible moment. Was your father or your mom, were they still alive to see that great moment? Or
yeah, my mom today is 82. God love her. She's the full Sicilian. She's my half of the Italian, and she's still with me. My father passed away about 12 years ago. But as I mentioned, God's kept me sober one day at a time for over 17 years now. And for 4.5 years before my father passed away, we became best friends. I learned to tell my dad I loved him. And it's funny that it's that much time ago, and it still brings tears to my eyes, that I was able to tell my father that I loved him and that he was a good father. And he was a good dad to me. He saw me graduate college and saw me become a responsible person. You know, today I hope he's in heaven and can see me that I've now become a father to my own child. I'm 48 years old, and I have a 1.5-year-old little baby at home. I got married 4 years ago to a beautiful woman. As we often say, I totally outpunted my coverage with my wife, Jill. But
that's true. Yeah, I've met her and Luca, and you definitely did, man. So God is good, brother. You're kind of like me. You don't look like much, but you talk a great game, right?
That's exactly right, Greg.
But I tell you one of the amazing stories to me about with your dad that, you know, I don't think you've shared yet, but we had talked about back at the wedding rehearsal back in January out in Idaho. We sat beside each other, you know, that story of redemption with your dad, and I think about the prodigal son things. But, I mean, man, if you rewind the tape some, there was one point your dad actually got on a car trying to keep you because you were, you know, trying to go off again on a drug rage or whatever, and your dad almost lost his life. Can you tell that story?
Absolutely. It's one of those, one of those stories that come with active addiction. I had actually gone to my home, to my parents' home, and my dad let me in one more time. I had showed up after a 3 or 4 day binge, and my dad went to the back room. My mom, I think, was calling him from the bedroom. He went back there, and when he disappeared, I grabbed the TV, and I ran out the door so that I could go pawn it. And my father saw me. He heard me, and he chased me. And as I put that TV in the back seat, I jumped into the front seat. My father, frankly, did a Superman on top of my car, holding on to the hood of my car. I can, again, 17 years later, I can see his face looking right at me saying, "Marcelo, Marcelo." He was telling me to stop. And I kept going. And my father flew off the hood of the car, and I almost killed him and ran over him with the car. And, you know, I can remember, Greg, as I drove off in just this psychotic episode of cocaine use, I started whistling. I started to try to convince myself that what just happened didn't happen. And I went and pawned that TV, got some money, bought more drugs, and then once again proceeded to try to not feel what had just happened.
Well, there's just so many stories of God's grace in your story, your testimony. You know, I think everybody wants to make a difference and share. And man, I just appreciate that you are sharing through all this. And we're going to talk tomorrow with Marcelo about, about the recovery process, as far as like what he would say to people that are struggling with addiction, what he learned through these recoveries, what he would say to parents and some other things. But I want to ask you a final question for today's program. What have you learned about God through all this process, Marcelo?
You know, I would say that God is faithful. You know, I through a process there in my active addiction, I cried out to God and I asked God, and I mean one of those really nasty hiccup, crying, snot type of filled cries. I cried out to God and I said, if you are God, why won't you take this from me? And I know today that he heard my cry.
And yet it was still a process after that, but that's kind of where things started, where that initial seed was planted, correct?
It certainly was. I would love to tell you that after I cried out like that, I never used drugs or alcohol again, but that's not my story.
Well, and that's why I wanted people to hear Marcelo. Just, you know, I know there's people listening, either people that are struggling with addiction or parents that have loved ones or siblings or a coworker. And yet, you know, there's a great ending of this story, as you've heard Marcelo say, that he's been sober now for 17 years. He's married. He's a father. And just by God's grace and staying sober day by day. But we're going to talk tomorrow. He's going to share more about what he would say to people that struggle with addiction and to parents and loved ones. So I hope you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue our conversation with Marcelo Unterbug on Hope Is Here.
If you have been blessed by Hope Is Here, would you consider making a donation to help this ministry continue to reach thousands in Central Kentucky every day? It's simple and safe. Go to our website at hopeishere.today, where you can make a safe and secure online donation, or you can find our address to mail a check. All donations are tax deductible and they are greatly appreciated. Please make your donation today at hopeishere.today. Again, that's hopeishere.today.